Good morning, everyone, and welcome to National Horizontal Stripes Day. If you don't understand why I'm saying that, then you should address the laundry cam. I am Martin Zender here in the laundry room, making sense for a living 5 days a week and on the weekends when you're not watching. And I am going to continue the theme I started yesterday, and it's a disturbing theme, but here it is, that people who go to church, Christian churches, where they hear the mainstream Orthodox teaching, they are demon worshipers. They are demon worshipers. They are worshiping demons. They don't know they're worshiping demons. They're the last people who would believe you if you told them that that's what they're doing. But nevertheless, that's what they are doing. They are comfortable with it. They love the doctrines of demons because the demons are smart. The demons have systematized their deception. This is a phrase Paul uses somewhere in his letters. I believe it's Ephesians chapter 6. He talks about the systematizing of the deception. It means that Satan has taken a horrible deception. He has turned people from the true God, introduced them to a false God, turned people from the true Jesus, turned them to the fake Jesus, and he has packaged it in a sweet little pill called Christianity. And so, listen to this. I've referenced this verse so many times, and I'm finally going to read the darn thing. Let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 12, Paul says, the truth of Christ is in me. He has to say that because of what he's about to say. For this boasting shall not be barred from me in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, seeing that I am not loving you, God is aware. Now, what I am doing, God, he has to say, I am loving you. Again, this is to introduce the radical thing he's about to say. He says, I am loving you. First, he says, the truth of Christ is in me. Okay? Lock that down. Bookmark that. Now I am loving you. Got that? Lock that down. Bookmark that. Because of what's coming. And here is what's coming. He's speaking of those who are boasting in themselves and who are disturbing the saints in Corinth. Paul's writing to the Corinthians concerning the truth of God. Paul says, he's trying to take away an incentive from these instigators, from these usurpers, from these disturbers of the peace. Peace is brought by Paul. The disturbance of the peace, the lying about the peace, is brought by an enemy. Paul is calling them false apostles. Such people, he says, who would disturb you, who would take away your peace, who would try to compromise my message and bring foreign elements into it. Such are false apostles, fraudulent workers being transfigured into apostles of Christ. And no marvel. So now he's going to look behind this manifestation in human form, and he's going to find out the unhuman, the inhuman source of it. For Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light. Satan himself, the prince of darkness, is being transfigured into a messenger of light. That is a messenger of brightness, of happiness, of this sounds good, of, oh, I'm comfortable, of this place feels so good to me. I'm hearing things that tickle my hearing. Yeah, that's Satan, that's Satan. Satan's doing that. And no marvel, Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light, that kind of light, yeah. It is no great thing then if his servants also are being transfigured as dispensers of righteousness. Transfigured. Transfigured. They are one way in reality, but they appear another way in sight as you see them. This is why I, Martin Zender, I'm not tricked by the beautiful churches. I'm not tricked when the disciples say to Christ, oh, isn't this a marvelous temple? And Christ says, not one stone will remain upon another one because it was the den of demons back then, because who frequented the temple? Oh, the priests who would kill Jesus Christ, who would crucify their own Messiah. That's who did. So Paul is saying Satan's like this, so of course his ministers are going to be like this, and they're disguised as ministers of righteousness, whose consummation shall be according to their acts. Okay, remember, we have a great white throne judgment, and people are judged there according to their acts. But Paul is talking about a day of judgment. Of what? Of those who pose as ministers of Christ, and they themselves are convinced they're ministers of Christ, but actually they're dupes of Satan, and they are doing the will of the evil one. And this is so shocking, so phenomenal, so unbelievable, that every so often I have to remind you of this. And I have to tell you that those who are in church are demon worshipers. Church, the organized religion, teaching false teachings. What false teachings? Human free will. It dethrones God, as I said yesterday. Eternal torment, that God would eternally torment his own creation in spite of having sent the remedy for sin, which apparently failed. There's another bad teaching, the failure of the sacrifice of Christ to take away the sins of the world. The failure of that. And the Trinity, of course, is horrible. It denies the death of Christ. These things are going on in church. And also this, that the body of Christ is responsible to take the hand of politics, to reform the world, to sanitize the world, to prepare it for the coming of Christ. In fact, the body of Christ operating on its own and under the Christian banner is probably the second coming of Christ. The coming of Christ might just be in his people. He's not physically going to come, because that would mean something's coming from the outside, and we know that can't be, because all power and the very possibility of glory comes from within the human being. That's what they truly believe in the churches. It's called free will. What do you think that is? Free will is nothing can come from without. Anything I have, anything I need, I have within me. God doesn't influence me. Satan doesn't influence me. Nothing influences me. I'm free. I have a free will. Nothing influences me. That's demonic at its core. Back to A. Enoch here. I'm done with this today. I'll get back to my little piece on whiskey and alcohol. I got some cool scriptures for you on that. But I need to tell you that if you're in church, you're a demon worshiper. That's what you are. You're a demon worshiper. You're worshiping demons. I mean, you might do other things. You might work for the bank. You might be raising your family. You might homeschool. You might be a wonderful person. But on the side, you're a demon worshiper. You worship demons at your church. They're disguised as ministers of righteousness. But you're really worshiping demons. And as Paul says, whose consummation shall be according to their acts. There is an end to this. And God is coming to destroy the religions of the world. And there are only four. It's not going to be that hard for him. He has four messengers right now prepared at the river Euphrates to be unleashed during the days of indignation, to go about the earth and kill the devotees of man-made religions. Christianity is a man-made religion. You are not a Christian if you believe in Jesus Christ. You are not a Christian if you believe in the sovereignty of God, if you believe in a God of love who does according to his will among the inhabitants of the earth. You're not a Christian. Christians will be killed during the tribulation, and Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims, but especially Christians. That's the first religion to go when this starts coming down. Jesus Christ said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming, in the second coming of the Son of Man. As in the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? The earth was cleansed because it had been polluted. It had been polluted with strange flesh. It had been polluted with sin. Well, now the earth has been polluted by religion. It's a cauldron. It's a death house. It's a graveyard, a cemetery. The earth is today with religion. It infuses everything, and it's sick. I can hardly stand to walk upon this earth. So infected is it by false teaching, and so beautified has it become. Satan is a genius. He takes the ugliest teachings imaginable, eternal torment or annihilation, that God is just going to destroy people for eternity just because he's vindictive, he's judgmental. False picture of God. Satan likes that picture. Yes, and you are actually worshiping Satan to believe in that God. And you'll never believe it until you find out at the great white throne. I'm not talking to you folks listening to me. I'm talking to the people looking over your shoulder who are wondering, I've said there's something wrong about my church. I don't feel right there. Good. You have spiritual instincts that few people have. Other people just sit there and they have a nice time. No, you are worshiping demons, and you'll discover that at the great white throne. it will be found out that you're a demon worshiper. When, Lord, when did I worship demons? Well, the demons were disguised. Why did you disguise the demons? That wasn't nice. Well, it's a good question. Why did I disguise the demons? Wow, I'm going to have to think about this. Because it definitely happened. God created Satan to send these deceptions. Oh, so that it would be found who really loves the truth. It would be demonstrated who really loves the truth and who only loves the popularity club that poses as dispenser of the truth. Who do you love? What do you love? If you love the truth, you'll see through the appearance. That's what it is. It's, can you get past the appearance? Can you get past the mesmerizing appearance? Can you get past the fact that Jesus Christ was an ugly Jew while he was walking on earth? Can you see through the cover of the book into the contents of the book? Do you have the Spirit of God? Because that's what it takes to see through not only the ugly Jew who was the Messiah of Israel, but to see through the beautiful temple, which is the repository of the dead, of dark, dead, demonic teachings. Can you go one level beneath that to see the truth? It is striking to note in this unveiling how messengers are, or angels, are given special jurisdiction over definite departments of the divine operations. There are four spirits, if you look at unveiling, Revelation 7:1, four spirits have control of the winds. Abaddon is the messenger of the abyss. And there are four messengers, bound messengers at the river Euphrates, we are told. Here's the question. What jurisdiction is given to these four messengers? Four angels, four spiritual beings bound right now at the river Euphrates. I didn't make this up. It's in the book of Revelation. What's their purpose? Their number seems to suggest that humanity is divided into four divisions with one messenger over each division. And this is a fact. Humanity is divided religiously into four divisions. This is significant because in this section of Revelation, it's the throne section. We're talking about, I'm going back now, we're reviewing things because I just got this thing I had to do here. I don't know what even came, oh yeah, the discussion I had with my friend, how she warned her relative, warned her, you're in danger, you're in big trouble, something terrible is at your church, and you're really in mortal danger being at that place. Her friend, what? Are you out of your mind? It's not your happy place. Humanity is divided into four great religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and Christianity. For each religion, there is a messenger of destruction being prepared. That's right, these four messengers are ready for the hour when they will be released and they will rid the world of human religion. They will rid the earth of all its Christless Christianity and godless religions. Christianity has a Christless religion. It's a Christless religion. It's an ineffective Christ. It's a loser Christ. It's a Christ who you see in all the famous paintings of Christ, the medieval paintings. He's got a little heart here, and he's holding up two fingers like this. He looks gay. Why is he? Nothing against gay people, but he looks a little effeminate. He doesn't look strong like a mighty one who conquered sin. He's holding up two fingers, and you'll often wonder why. I say it's because that's how many people he manages to save. Now, before this time, before these messengers go out to destroy, to cleanse the earth, just like happened in the days of Noah, folks. These are like the days of Noah. I am warning you ahead of time. I did it yesterday. I'm doing it again today. Today I'm doing it with horizontal stripes just to show you that it's not the messenger. Forget about me. But this message is real. What I'm telling you is true. Now, before this happens, the members of the body of Christ will have been taken up in glory with Christ because we are on the ark of safety, which is Paul's gospel. Something I said yesterday bothered me, not that it was false, is that you might get the wrong idea about it. I told you that this window of grace we're in is temporary, and it is. This is an acceptable era of salvation. Paul's message is temporary. It came on a certain day back in the first century. It ends on a certain day, maybe next month, when the last member of the body of Christ goes, oh, I get it, and we're gone, and the body of Christ is taken to its celestial home. Then God comes back and teaches the world about himself through different means. That's just it. It doesn't mean that God ceases being a God of grace or a God of love. He's always a God of grace and love. He's still conciliated to the world. He still is, but now he uses a different method because it's a different time. But he doesn't do it until he takes his ambassadors out. No country declares war on another country until they remove their ambassadors from that country. We are ambassadors of peace. We are ambassadors of grace. We have no place on this planet when God declares war on the earth. It's a purposeful war. It's not a war to vindicate his hurt feelings. It's a war to adjust the world, to smack across the head to get them to see. And they will see. Christianity has its own messenger waiting to unleash his horrid hosts upon the heads of the apostate church. And Christianity is apostate. I mean, the very word itself, the title, Christianity, it's a false religion. Jesus Christ is not a member of it. Since one-third of humanity are killed, the judgment has to reach those who are the greatest sinners against the golden altar. And in this context of the four messengers at the river Euphrates, it's underneath the scene of the golden altar, and it's in the temple section of the Revelation. It has to do with the spiritual, not the political, the spiritual deliverance of the earth from usurpers. We're walking among usurpers. We're walking among people who have the audacity to assume that they are the spiritual leaders. No, we're the spiritual leaders. We are, not them. I'm a spiritual leader here in a laundry room in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with a few hundred views on my show here. Those who claim to be spiritual leaders, they're posers, they're usurpers. They've not taken their right place. They're Satan worshipers. They are of Satan. They are put there purposely by God as a litmus test. Who loves the truth? Who looks beneath the surface? Not too many. And so they're all going to destruction. Yes, temporary destruction. They're eventually saved. And I've told you, that's the freaking miracle that Christians are saved. They're all going to destruction. Lord, Lord, didn't we do mighty works in your name? There we go. Didn't we cast out demons in your name? A house divided itself cannot fall. You thought you were casting out demons, but you really weren't. The demons loved it. They're playing games with you. The demons are using you. You're useful idiots to the demons because they're using you to drive the rest of the world from God because of your stupid, heinous teachings, your false teachings. Millions of people are driven away from God because of you. You're useful idiots to Satan. And you don't even realize it. You think you're casting out Satan. We cast out 10 demons today. It's a game. They're playing games with you. They're giving you little tinker toys, you Pentecostals, to make you think you're doing stuff. You're so useful to Satan. He doesn't want to dissolve you. You're useful to him because you're a bunch of clowns thinking you're filled with the Spirit of God. In the meantime, you're teaching things that you ought not. You're teaching the doctrines of unclean, bestial, celestial, diabolical powers, like eternal torment. Oops, that's really wrong. Oh, it's so wrong. You won't believe how wrong eternal torment is. You can't believe how wrong that is. It's so wrong. It's the opposite of the truth. God is the Savior of all humanity. And there are many, many verses that say that. I've given those to you over and over again. 1 Timothy 4:10, Colossians 1, 16 through 20, Romans 5, 18 and 19, Romans 11, 32, Romans 11, 36, 1 Corinthians 15, 22, Ephesians 1, 10. I mean, we've gone over all of these all the time. Lots of them. Why haven't you seen those? Why haven't you seen the love of God? Because you don't have the love of God in you. It's okay. But you're going to be showing up at the great white throne to be judged because you really weren't a believer in God. You were tricked. You were tricked and you were used. So you're casting out demons. It's all a game to keep you occupied, to keep you doing what you're doing. Satan wants you in play because you're screwing up the world. The world hears about God through you and they go, we don't want that God. Yeah. They tune into this show and they go, my show here. And they, this makes sense. People tune in here and they go, this guy makes sense. He's not out to get rich, this guy. He's not teaching at the Crystal Cathedral. He's in a freaking laundry room. And yet, he's bringing out scriptures that we've never heard before. And he's talking about a God of love and a Savior who's successful. Ooh, that's different. We're going to latch on to that. We like that. This is when the horsemen are released. The four messengers released 200 million supernatural cavalry. They are supernatural beings that go out and kill people. Simple as that. They kill people. They asphyxiate them with sulfur. It's literal as can be. And it's so perfect. Why not? The church has asphyxiated people with false doctrines. The church has choked people to death, telling them about a God who loves them but hates them at the same time, who offers them grace but dares them to believe him at the same time, a codependent God who has to make you love him or else he doesn't feel loved and he can't love you. Oh, it's all just sick. It asphyxiates people. So how perfect that these horsemen breathe, these supernatural horses, breathe sulfurous, noxious fumes that choke Christians to death. And they're going to be choked to death. Yeah. Oh. They could. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. I mean, they're going to be choked to death. I don't like it. I'm not just sitting here celebrating. I'm just telling you that it's true. They're going to be saved eventually. And again, that's the miracle. I'll close this way. God help me. Maybe I'll wear horizontal stripes tomorrow and be in a different mood, different frame of mind. We'll see. Can't promise you. The sixth trumpet details the destruction of the four great world religions. These can have no place in the kingdom of God and of Christ. The whole conflict is essentially superhuman. Yeah, this is superhuman conflict. This is not your ordinary warfare. And the conflict is going on now. It's superhuman. The power of the churches to keep going is superhuman. Demons are keeping it in play, and God, in turn, of course, is keeping it in play. He brings the deception so that there must be sex among you, so that those who are approved may be apparent. There must be this huge falling away. Paul predicted it. The apostasy of the end times. We're in it. It's not only worldly. In fact, the world's better off. It's religious. Behind human religions are the demons whom they deify. Against them are the four messengers and their horrible horsemen. Demonism is given its death stroke, finally, though it is not done away with until the seventh trumpet sounds and the last woe works havoc with the hosts of unrepentant humanity. I implore anyone listening today to change their mind about God and Christ. Change your mind about organized religion. Change your mind about that nice place you go to that is full of wrong teachings. Look into the scripture. Correctly translated. Care about it. Wonder if your little, still small voice in there, your instinct that thinks something's wrong with this church, follow that. Go with that. Follow it. Go with it. Follow it. Pursue it. You will find the truth.